When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Money Making Conversations. It's the show that shares the secrets of success experienced firsthand by marketing and branding expert Rashawn McDonald. I will know. He's given me advice on many occasions, and in case you didn't notice, I'm not broke. You know he'll be interviewing celebrity CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. It's what he likes to do. It's what he likes to share. Now it's time to hear from my man, Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations. Here we go.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass, as he stated. I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. Our theme is there is no perfect time to start following your dreams, because people always talk about their purpose or gift. If you have a gift, always lead with your gift, and don't let your friends, family, or coworkers stop you from planning or living your dreams. My guest on the show today is the renowned R&B singer, songwriter, Kim. For all of his life, Kim has always been driven by music and the emotions involved in bringing his music to life. He is now the author of the memoir, Share My Life. In his book, Share My Life, Kim goes back to the very beginning, before his music stardom, to introduce us to his grandmother, who worked as a sharecropper in the South and had 13 children. His mom always had a beer in her hand, and he had a very intense relationship with his father. Confused and rejected, Kim eventually used drugs and alcohol for relief. He is on the show to discuss this incredible journey, his independent music career, family, and his book, Share My Life. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. The one and only Kim. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
This book. Let's set the table here, because it's a great book. I read it from cover to cover, and my wife, she knows when I maybe just leave me alone. I'm reading this. This is because you had me on a journey. But when I look at who Kim is, one platinum selling album, Kim, album two, two gold selling albums, Chemistry and Intimacy, three Grammy nominations, five number one hit singles. Why are you writing this book, Share My Life?
Thank you for having me today, brother. I appreciate it. I wrote this book because any healing and transformation that I have experienced in my life, which has been a great deal, experienced because somebody shared their story with me along the way. And somebody was transparent with me. Someone was vulnerable with me. Someone was willing to admit their faults to me, and they're overcoming to me their triumph and the tragedy of their lives. They shared those experiences with me, and it helped me to transform my life. And I'm hoping that my book does the same for someone else.
Well, you know, because we know one Kim. You know, you and I have a long relationship through music, through Steve Harvey Morning Show, a lot of events we did together over the years. And when the inspiration behind this book, I knew that version. I can remember when I first met you, I believe it was in Philadelphia at WDAS, the large outdoor festival, and I just saw this cool little thin guy come down there with his jacket on, sat down, no socks on, sat down at that piano and just did his thing. A confident guy. And when I read the book, Kim, that wasn't who you were growing up. The confidence wasn't there. The style wasn't there. The grace wasn't there. Talk about that early years of Kim.
In the book, I talk about my struggles with depression. I talk about being homeless for a minute. I talk about my struggles with alcohol and drug addiction. And people who follow me, just like you, I've shared bits and pieces of my story throughout the years. This is 20 years being signed to the Motown label. It's been 2 decades since I had a real job. And those periods of my life were, again, they were hard years. There was a lot of darkness. But I learned some things that have helped me to sustain. On July 23rd of 1990, I had my last drink, my last drug. And there's an adage I love that says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I came to a place where I stopped trying to consider the idea that I could solve my own problem with my present state of mind.
Right, right.
I gave up on my ideas on how to fix my life. And when I surrendered, and that's what that was a surrender. When I surrendered, I ended up running into some people and to some organizations that have helped me build the foundation of my career and my life today are built on the shoulders of people who have come into my life and shared their stories with me.
It's a really interesting book. I'm talking to Kim, his book, Share My Life, a memoir about his life, his struggles as a youth, as a young man. We all had struggles. I've had struggles. And overcoming the odds, overcoming yourself sometimes when you think about it, because a lot of things that you did, you created the problem. Now, when you look at yourself and this book, Kim, I'll be honest with you, we've talked, but just to hear you talk this much, I didn't know what to expect in this interview, because you're a very low key guy. You talk about shyness in the book. And now you're doing this book tour, talking about yourself. Is this a therapy in a sense, having you talk about yourself, having you be able to just communicate at this level?
Much of what has been written in the book, I've already processed, it is therapeutic in the sense that in the telling of my story, in an effort to help other people, I'm also helping myself, right?
Right.
That's how I'm bearing witness. I'm giving testimony, which also feeds me. And you said something very interesting, that I want to pick up on. You said a lot of it is about overcoming of self, right? Mm-hmm. And all of life is about overcoming self. It's all about overcoming you, right?
Yeah.
All these gurus on Instagram and Facebook and the preachers, and we're always talking about you can't let them do this to you, and don't pay attention to your haters and they this and they that. Look, my biggest problem has always been me, right? It ain't other people. You know what I mean? And and that success and entrepreneurship and success in life is an internal job. It ain't an external job. It's what we tell ourselves and how we navigate our inner space that dictates what happens externally. So I share this, in the book, in the hopes that I can, inspire and encourage somebody to get through to the other side of whatever they may be dealing with in their lives.
You do inspire because of the fact that let's put it this way. Kim, you're doing things that I never did, and you accomplished some things in the book that I don't know if I could have overcome because of the fact there was a support system in place. It was two people who played very important roles, and I want you to describe to them, because the name was Mom in the book and Mother in the book. Can you explain to everybody who Mother was and who Mom was in your book?
Well, mom is you know, my mom is, when I talk about mom, I'm talking about my mother, the woman who gave birth to me at 17 years old in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, she's pregnant by a high school teacher that was at her school, you know, an encounter of shame. I was born, you know, under the auspices or in the auspices of shame. You know, her dad, this is 67, right? So her dad was a preacher, was a pillar in the Pentecostal church. So, I mean, it was a scandal. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, they burned in Detroit down, 1967.
Right.
1967.
Right. So you're coming in, you know, out of wedlock, the truss on fire. Welcome to the world, Kim.
And the woman I refer to as mother is my mom's mother, and that was everybody in the family called her mother. You know, in other families the vernacular would be Big Mama. You know, she was Big Mama in our family, and strong-willed, powerful, determined women. You know, and with all the tragedy and all of the triumph of their lives, you know, and I talk about silence, you know, and how silence is the silence in our family dynamic was generational. You know, we didn't talk about stuff. We didn't have the tools to communicate. We didn't have coping skills, especially, you know, in African American community, I'm sure in other communities as well, you know, there's this is grown folks' business. You don't ask any questions. You go over in the corner and you sit down. The dysfunction that is displayed in the household is not, you don't get debriefed on it. You know, it just happens, you know, and you're left to fend for yourself emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically. And, there was a lot of that growing up, and we've done a lot of good work to get to the other side of that, you know, and I'm grateful for that, you know, but those are the seeds that informed my low self-esteem, my childhood depression, my ultimately my addiction, you know, being in and out of jail and hospitalized, you know, out in the streets, stealing, conniving, you know, those were the seeds, you know, and I talk about that, and I'm great, and I'm cool, you know, I don't wish to shut the door on my past. It's a part of who I am, you know. It makes me who I am today. It informs the music, it informs the art, and you know, and it's a witness, you know, it's a testimony to going through something, you know, and taking your lemons.
I love
taking the lemon life, you know. And making some delicious lemonade.
Well, interesting. First of all, in reading the book, it's a very honest book, and that is always when you start writing these memoirs, you start evaluating yourself, and you start, because you're not just talking about yourself; you're talking about other people who have journeyed with you. Now, you talk about so many different people who had emotional, very, very close emotional worlds. Did you reach back at the individuals that you talked about in the book? How was that brokered in writing your memoir?
Not all of them. You know, I haven't had a conversation with everyone that is depicted in the book. My mom was interviewed for the book early on in the writing. That's my father was interviewed for the book. You know, I went way around the block to protect my, I went way around the block to not denigrate, to not dishonor, to not bring shame on the other characters of the book.
And I noticed that, you know, because, you know, I've been fortunate to being in this role of writing a memoir with a superstar talent like you, and being able to, because once it goes out there, you can't bring it back. And then all of a sudden, certain people, you try to write it as comfortable as possible, but they still get offended by it because they feel you didn't tell it the way it should have been told, or you should have asked me. So it becomes something you write honestly, and then when it gets published, that's another journey that you have to deal with, because of the fact that your story has to be told, and it'll only be told one way, through the lens of Kim. And with that being said, it had to start somewhere, and it started in the house. It started with your mom, started with your dad, started with the mother, which is your grandmother. That okay was important before you move forward, correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's the foundation. That's where it all starts, you know. And backing up, it's like, yes, you know, I'm seeing it. I told the truth as I see it, you know, and there is no way that I would have told the truth, or there was no way that I would have characterized that. No matter what I had said, I would not characterize it. I would not have characterized it the way that another kid, that someone else would have, you know. Everybody, it's going to be different, you know. I could make it especially as nice as possible, and you know, people would still take issue with it. I expect that, and I anticipate that, and that's, you know, I think that's just par for the course. But I did, you know, I treated everybody, you know, respectfully. I told the truth, but I didn't, my intent was not to shame or denigrate anyone.
And you didn't. And you didn't. I want to be honest with you. You didn't, because I know the level of honesty that these books have to be. And especially with two of the people you had to discuss were, you know, the mothers of your children. That was important that story was told as accurately and as sensitive as possible. But one of the part about growing up with, because your father, you know, he is an engineer, graduated from HBCU, Tennessee State, and your mom eventually got her degree at Wayne State. And when we come back from this break, I want to talk about chemistry. That man, when you started talking about that, man, that the book went to a whole different level, because it became an entrepreneurial book, and it became a different. That's the part of the book that your book is incredibly intense, incredibly well written, incredibly eye opening. But when you got to that entrepreneurial section, that was a section that really told me why you're great today.
Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass. As host of Money Making Conversations Masterclass, Rushon McDonald is uniquely positioned to provide a step-by-step, easy-to-understand blueprint. Because it's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start writing your own.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org.
That's trinityschool.org.
The show, Money Making Conversations Masterclass, interviews CEOs, small business owners, influencers, and celebrities. They share financial and career success tips that you can only hear in the Money Making Conversations Masterclass show. Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rushon McDonald.
I'm going to be honest with you. I got to tell everybody, let them know when I get to my truck, and go to my player. The first four songs, I got to just let everybody know, are Kim songs. And I say that, to be honest to everybody, but when I bring them on the show, is that when somebody comes into your life musically, because music plays such a powerful role in people's lives. A lot of people don't understand the value of music. Kim, when you started putting together chemistry, you became a perfectionist. It had to be right. It had to be, and you were driving people crazy. Tell us about that journey as an independent music producer, seller, and artist.
Yeah, I'm still driving people crazy. Look, I didn't set out. You know, entrepreneur. You know, I think sometimes it gets we complicate it. You know, we complicate it, and you know, there's lots to learn. And you know, I watch Shark Tank, and I hear people coming in there, man, and they're breaking down their business and like breaking down their numbers, and they know the cost of acquisition for one of their online. I mean, they know all of that stuff, dude. I didn't know any of that stuff. All I knew was I wanted to put a CD out on my own, you know, and I learned. I just kept doing the next, what was the next, right? What's the most logical thing, the next right logical thing that you need to do? Do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. The first thing you need to do is record this, right? So go and find a studio, you know, to record. Well, the first thing you need some money, right? So I had, you know, I kept my, I had been in credit recovery for a few years and ended up getting an American Express card.
Come on, gold card now. Let's go give you credit. It was a gold card now.
It was a gold card, and then attached to the gold card. Well, it wasn't attached to the gold card, but then I had the gold card for a couple of years, and then I ended up getting a business line of credit, you know, of $17,000 from American Express. So mm-hmm. They didn't know what I was going to do with the money, but what I did with the money was record the chemistry album, you know, and
basically you bet on yourself.
You have to. If you're not gonna bet on it, then don't bring your proposal to my door. How much you get, right? That's right. How much mm-hmm. money you got it? Your skin is game. You know, are you willing to put everything that you got, you know, on the line? And I was. Yeah, I figured. Look, this will either work, or if it don't work, I'll just have the largest credit card bill in America that I will spend the next 35 years, you know, paying off. But if it works, you know, then I'm on to something. So I was. You know, I just kept doing the next right thing, you know, and recording the record, finding a place to produce the record, you know, pivoting, you know, when I wasn't at the right studio because this dude didn't really, you know, didn't provide me with what I needed. So I had to pivot to somebody else, you know, to help record the album. My manager then was Toya Hankins, and, you know, she was instrumental in the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We were sending, you know, I was sending people. I didn't know any, you know, I did have some books, you know, how to manage your band and all this business of music. You know, I knew how to copyright. There was an education that was taking place, but it was taking place in real time. You know, I was learning as I was going, and what's the next right thing? You know, so somebody's going to buy this CD, they're going to scan it. So you need to have a UPC code. Now you can record at the studio and they'll put theirs on there. They'll do that for you. It's like, nah, I want my own. So I went to the UPC code council or whatever that is and got my own barcode that I still have today. You know, put it on the back of the records, was selling them, you know, on consignment at the mom and pop record stores in Detroit. I had to use, you know, a Word program to make consignment sheets so that I could keep track of, you know, my sales and how much people owed me. And I mean, it was definitely, you know, an entrepreneurial, endeavor. You know,
Kim, the reason I wanted people to hear that, because people only see the end game. They only hear the nominations, yeah, the awards. Well, you were hustling, man. You was taking your album back in the day, that's when they were albums, to different stores. And could you sell this? Or can you sell my CD? And then you had to humble yourself to be a salesman and convince people and talk people and talk yourself up. And a lot of people today are... They missed that step. They think that I can get on social media, I can get a bunch of followers, and I can be a star. But then there is some right. groundwork to that, correct?
Yeah, there's definitely. Well, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I see people on online, you know, and the YouTube stars and Instagram. You know, I mean, they, you know, my motive. You know, I don't know how I would do it today.
Right.
You know, their motivation is, you know, they don't, you know, I can't speak to that, but I can speak to, is the discipline and building something that lasts forever. But dude, if you can stream and you don't have to do that, and you can stream a billion streams and become a millionaire and like sit at the house and never leave the house and never do shows. So the world, but I can't do that.
Right. Okay. We gotta have Kim. I gotta see Kim. Okay. New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day. Okay. I gotta see Kim.
Right. You know, so we had to work and had to build a foundation that has lasted for two decades, you know, and I couldn't be happier and more grateful, you know, for the grind that it took to sit where I sit today.
And the grind is always about the unknown. And then as you going through, is music really the ultimate? What was that turning point? Because I read, was your ninth grade, your music teacher was the first person that really set you in front of a piano or a keyboard, and you start playing around with that, and then you started spending hours, more than you would spend time in a book, you start spending time at these keys. When did that become like, you know, your master, or like, this is what I love? Because that's what we all learn in life, whether it's dribbling a basketball or standing on stage as a comedian or a singer. When did you realize that this is a gift? This is my gift.
I mean, I knew that I loved it before our family left Nashville. You know, I loved the piano when I was a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't see that there was a check attached to it or it was a possible vocation until much later, you know, in my life. And, there's a paradox there too, because I didn't get a deal. Well, you know, when I got a deal when I stopped, when I realized that I didn't have to, you know, I'd always been chasing a record deal since I was a teenager, you know,
right.
But I came to a place in my 30s, I was like, you know what, maybe music is not my thing. I thought that I became open to the idea I could be successful doing something else. You know, it doesn't have to be music. And I let go of it. I didn't stop making music, but I let go of the idea that this was.
Did you let go of the passion of it, or because of the doubt or the rejection? Is that why you let go of the idea?
It was none of that. This was elevated thinking, right? It wasn't that it was the rejection. It was like I was just open to the, you know, it's a spiritual axiom, right? I had this, I gotta have it. And it's like, no, you know what? I don't have to have it. I can be successful doing something else. Let me go find out what that is. And it didn't mean that I was going to quit making music. It just meant that, you know, they're like, dude, there's more to me than just doing this. Let me go find out what those things are. And I went and looked for those things, and I failed miserably. However, it was the letting go. Right. It was the letting go and being willing and all. I think business is one thing that that has really been crucial to me in this last, you know, probably 18 month period, is that businesses fail, man. And people fail because they don't pivot. They don't pivot soon enough. You know, they wait and they hold on, you know. And I say this for the people who, you know, for the aspiring singer who's mother tell them that they sound good singing in the living room and spend your whole life until you're 65 years old trying to sing, you know, when actually you make some pretty good cupcakes and that's what you should be doing. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's funny. Well, real, in right? your book now, you talk about trying to be a comedian now. You did talk about trying to be. That was a very good joke there, my brother. Thank you.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Look, I've always known what it was, you know, but I'm always open to the idea that I don't have all the answers, right?
Right.
I'm always open to the idea that I don't have all the answers. And even today, dude, it's like, yeah, I make records. I'm sitting down here. You know, I just wrote this book. We got a live album that just came out. I'm out on the road with Ledisi and Music Soul Child. And I still ask myself every day, Lord, then point me in the right direction. I don't want nothing that don't belong to me. You know, which is anti-entrepreneur, you know, that whole self-will, you know, and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. There's a place for that, you know, but it comes with limitations. So I just remain open.
But there was a shot at you potentially selling Mary Kay, though.
I wasn't selling Mary Kay for the car. I was selling Mary Kay. I love it.
You know, the emotional side of this, you know, you talk about the relationship, you talk about, you know, your skin tone being bullied but the relationships ties really to the music. It ties to your therapist telling you that probably your music is therapeutic to you. When you started getting these answers along the way, you father two incredibly amazing children out of wedlock, then you start dealing with that, the responsibility of fatherhood and your career and trying to maintain a responsibility and stand close to your children. When did you start lining everything up, Kim, that it made sense to you that I'm doing it right?
I'm always in the process of lining it up. You know, I'm always in the process of lining my life up and peeling back the layers of the onion to my life. You know, I don't think it's not a place where you arrive, because I look back, you know, where I thought I had it lined up pretty good. And like, I'm looking back, I'm like, dude, you were crazy.
Right.
Back then, right? So, like, you know, with every, you know, I'm not, we are constantly evolving, constantly learning. I'm not the same guy I was 6 months ago. You know what I'm saying? It's like constantly, you know, reevaluating, constantly, as Stephen Covey would say, you know, constantly sharpening the saw, you know, it's not a question of arriving. It's a question of continuing to make the best effort to keep doing the next right thing, you know, and building upon that, you know. And I'm in a pretty good place, you know, right now. But I also know that there's definitely more to learn and more to be discovered.
Well, the amazing thing that I discovered with you in reading this book, because, you know, you only know a person, one side of a person, just like a person doesn't know other sides of me until I tell them and reveal them, like you're revealing in this book. But, you know, the fact that you made a conscious effort, you know, your mom graduated from college, Wayne State, your father graduated from Tennessee State, and then you made the conscious decision to go back to school because you dropped out. Why was that important?
I went back to get my
high school
diploma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't go to, you know, college material, and that's okay. We get it ingrained in, we ingrain in our children that, you know, college, but everybody ain't gonna thrive in college, you know what I'm saying? So, but I went back to get my high school diploma because it was always a point of shame, you know, for me. And, I was trying to take the GED to get my GED, but the test for the GED was too hard. It was easier for me. I'm like, dude, I may as well go. I'm like, I may as well go back to school.
I'm gonna tell you, Kim, I gotta stop you, man. You know, this is a pretty intense book, man. You know, Kim is a pretty intense sharer, and we've been laughing, man. We've been joking around. That's the amazing side of this story and an amazing side of you, man. You a good brother, man. You are a winner. You are a comedian. And that's a side of y'all. I'm so happy I'm getting to hear and see for the first time in my life, because as a person who watch you perform, I'm in awe.
Yeah.
And that's a shield, yeah. Because, you know, when you, like you saying, you, Michael Jackson came out and Prince and, you know, all those songs you talk about that really turn you in direction of who you are today. That's who you are to me when I watch you on stage as an artist, because of the fact that how you affect me from a standpoint, from a personal standpoint. It's all good. It's all good because you motivate, your music is motivational. Your music is emotional. Music is uplifting. All those things that as an artist you want it to be. But to hear you, you know, at this layer of you I've never seen before is really refreshing. In your thoughts. Is this Kim?
Thank you. Yeah, this is Kim. This is Kim. Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you for that. You know, hey, thank you, Rashawn. It's good talking to you.
And we'll talk soon. Appreciate you.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.